In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. I'm so glad you could join me. Today we are in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. Let me read. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Now, I love this picture because it shows us that God knows their hearts and therefore chooses a different path for them. He chooses the wilderness. It's a longer path rather than the shorter path near the Philistines. The implication here is that God sees that Israel will fear war and that they will change their mind and return to bondage in Egypt. Now, this is an incredible principle. Fear of man results in distrusting God and his promises, therefore turning away from following God and returning to bondage. This is a huge principle. And God knows the hearts of Israelites. And this applies to you and me. When we fear man, we doubt God's word, we turn from following him, and we go back to sin and bondage. Oh, brothers and sisters, may you not fear man. May you fear God alone. The application is, how do we face the fear of man? Do we flee God or do we follow God? And this is the question. When you have fear, pray. When you have fear, recall the scriptures in your mind. And when you have fear, obey God's word. Trust him, not your eyes. Trust him and obey. It really is that simple. Now, in verse 19, we see the promise fulfilled. Let me read. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under a solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. Now, if you recall from Genesis 50, verse 24, we had Joseph's last will and testament. Verse 24 reads, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And then Joseph took an oath from the throne of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin of Egypt. And then Joshua 24:32, this will be when they finally do make it into the promised land, the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem, in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph. This is Joshua 24, verse 32. So I bring these two verses in to remind us that Joseph asked the Israelites to remember to take his bones into the promised land, and here we are now, 430 years. Just imagine how many times various Israelites saw Joseph's coffin under the tyranny of slavery. And they said, one day God will deliver us. See, this is an important truth that all of us have to recognize. Now, we don't have a promised land as Christians in this physical earth, but we do have a promised land. That's heaven. That's glory. So as we sojourn here on earth, we can, too, hold to the promises that God has given us as we await for our deliverance into the promised land. Now, as far as Etham, it's a location that we still don't know where it is today. Now, let's continue in verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from the people. I love this picture because it shows us that God is a shepherd. 24/7, the presence of God is with the people. Could you imagine in your tents looking out at the night sky and there is the presence of God in a pillar of fire and smoke? It would be an overwhelming image, but you would know deep down in your heart, God loves me and he is with me. He is my shepherd and he's protecting me. Deuteronomy 4:32 goes on and says as follows, "For ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether any great thing like this has happened, or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard and live? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation, by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes?" You can see that Moses is reminding them of the special care and love God had for them. But it goes on. "To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God, that there is none other besides him. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice, that he might instruct you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them. And he brought you out of Egypt with his presence, with his mighty power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance, as it is this day. Therefore know this day, and consider it in your heart, that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you, with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time." Wow. Does that paint a picture of the special treasure that the Israelites are to God, but also the great lengths that God went to deliver his people? And the truth is, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ has done that for you. He has made the greater deliverance. He has redeemed you by the blood of the Lamb. The implication is there is no God like our God, and there is no deliverer like our God alone. Israel is completely dependent like a newborn baby in every way, just as we are at the beginning of our new birth. So let me ask you a question. How is God leading you 24/7? Is God leading you 24/7? What changes do you need to make so that God can lead you by day and by night? Are you fearful? Are you worried? Are you looking to the Lord? Are you seeking him in his word? Or are you being tossed to and fro like a boat on wild waves? See, this is a key issue to understand about who our God is. It's not just, I believe in God. No, you are trusting and walking with him day by day. You are walking in obedience to his word because he says, those who love me, obey me. If you're not obeying God, then you are saying to him, I don't love you. We understand this, don't we? Now, I want to kind of wrap up this last section. It's a familiar psalm, Psalm 23, and it's so fitting because this is what God is doing to Israel. He is being their shepherd, which I love this picture because this is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great shepherd. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, we read this psalm so many times at funerals, and it really is not a funeral psalm. It is a psalm for our life today. It's a psalm that reminds us that each and every day we are to come before our great shepherd and listen and be alert to how he wants to guide us, how he wants to shepherd us, how he wants us to submit to him. This is so critical, because if God is not your shepherd, then who is leading you? Is it sin? Is it self? For us who claim the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, He is to lead us. He is our great shepherd. And we need to remind ourselves that what do sheep do? They follow the shepherd. They listen to the voice of the shepherd. They trust the shepherd because the shepherd has the best interest for the sheep. And so may you not look at this as a funeral psalm, but may you look at this as a life psalm. And may you cry out today that Christ is your shepherd. Are you allowing him to lead you in your life? Are you allowing him to tell you where to go and what to do? Oh, these are great passages and good reminders for each of us that we may truly be his sheep. Well, we're ready to start a new chapter. We might not get much into it, but let's start off with Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi-Haroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in.' Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he'll pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh, over all his army, and the Egyptians may know that I'm the Lord." And they did so. Now, by this point, you probably have forgotten about Pharaoh and the army. But let's not forget what's going on behind the scenes. They've gone several days. They've camped. They got a few days' journey ahead. But Pharaoh is still alive, and he is enraged. His heart is hardened, and he wants to go after the Israelites. Now, this place, Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea opposite Baal Zephon, is still unknown to us today. But the path of God has a threefold purpose. First, in regards to Pharaoh, it's to convince Pharaoh that Israel is bewildered, confused with no destination, and cornered and trapped. Let me just say this. God is using the Israelites as bait for Pharaoh. He's going to protect the Israelites, but let's not misunderstand here. Judgment for Pharaoh is not yet complete. There's a second purpose, and that's God. God will harden Pharaoh's heart, ensuring that Pharaoh will pursue Israel so that God may judge Pharaoh and his army, and the Egyptians will know the true God. But there's another purpose, and that's the purpose for the Israelites. They will learn to trust God when they are helpless and facing annihilation. Let me ask you a question. Can you recall a situation whereby you were helpless and facing an enemy too strong to fight on your own, and only God could deliver you? As we're going to see here, there are no dead ends with God. His path, though, requires obedience to his word and faith in his person. So as we wrap up today, let's remember that when God brings trials into your life, it's not a dead end. It is a dead end to sin in your life, but it is a turning point for new life in Christ. So may you truly remember that God may bring trials in your life, but they are for your good and his glory. Well, may you truly, this next couple days, remember that God is the great deliverer and protector. May you worship him in spirit and truth.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.